Previously on Cliff and Kendall, Coast to Coast.
All right. Now, Tony, if you could change one and only one aspect of the U.S. presidential election process, what would it be?
Oh, this is real boring, but I would get rid of the Electoral College and make it a one-man, one-vote system.
There you go. Tony, it's not called Kendall's interesting question. Kendall's stupid question.
Grab a fiber bar and settle in. It's sassy time.
Cliff and Kendall, two big old boys from Nashville, grew up and branched out all across America. From thousands of miles away, they reunite online and in your ear, each week bringing you bits of humanity in the form of a podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, Cliff and Kendall.
Hey, Cliff!
Do I ever tell you how much I love hearing me say all that shit at the beginning of every episode?
You won the coin toss and got to say the announcement at the beginning of each show.
No, you told me to do it. I still have old wrappers around here from previous trips to the kitchen.
Get those out of here, because this week it is time to find your true calling in life, Cliff.
Kendall, I have been worried about this for our listeners for so long.
I have too.
Do you feel like you've found your true calling?
I don't know.
For whatever that means.
I think my true calling is this show.
Me too.
That is my true calling. Whatever else I do is just secondary.
Well, you know, and we've talked about this before. I'm a beast man on campus.
Oh yeah.
I'm trying to go get a degree that will help me help people better their lives and change the world.
Which is all about this show, is helping people.
Yeah, it is.
Except for those
and that. It's about helping people in that.
And Bell.
But I want to help people and change the world, but that's beside the point. What I really am is I'm an artist. I really feel that I am. And we work in different mediums, and there are things that I have done in my life that were art, like my movies in college.
Uh-huh.
And tell me if you feel the same way. I loved them. I loved making them. I love watching them. I love making people watch them.
Uh-huh.
I'm not that anymore.
Right.
I tried to make a movie a couple years ago. I thought, well, that was so much fun. I should do another one. Like one of the ones I did, the egg movie, for people who know what that is. I thought I should make another egg movie. And I tried, and it didn't work. It was not who I was anymore.
Yeah, you moved on. You're the artist formerly known as fat.
Well, I'm currently known as morbidly obese. But that's
what I said. Formerly known as fat.
But I still feel like I'm an artist because I like to paint. Like Sinatra did. I write songs. I'm a singer with perfect pitch, but my main creative artistic outlet is this show.
Ouch. Yes, it is.
I'm also a novelist, but that's also beside the point. But now, do you feel the same way about any of what I just said for the last 9 minutes?
Yeah. Yes. But, you know, for me, everything that I've been through, you know, my whole creative start was in theater in high school, acting.
Okay.
And I loved that. And
me too.
And then
me
I
too.
Got behind the scenes and built theaters. I mean, built sets, and that's where I currently did it. I built theaters.
Yeah. Oh, well, you do sort of do the same thing, don't you, as that?
Sort of. But, you know, looking back, like, and even the films, like, I'm such a nostalgic person that I would love to go back and do any of those things. Like, I still want to act at some point in the future, which we kind of do on this show.
We do. We get the chance. We do things like Save Christmas and Fight Hillbilly Willie.
I want to actually be the builder of sets for theater again. I want to make movies again, but just for myself.
Okay.
I don't want to be a huge director or anything. I don't want to make Solitaire again, but I want to make movies for us. You know, I want to make the Cliff and Kendall movie series.
Well, now, and we're going to wrap this up.
Yes.
1 second, audience.
Very
this personal.
Very
this personal. I'm sorry. This personal conversation we're having, we're going to wrap it right up. But I feel the same way. But I just, like, when I tried to make the movie a couple years ago, I thought, that's not really... It wasn't where I was at then. And I thought, it doesn't mean I will never be back there. But it wasn't where I was then.
Right.
But now, one thing I wanted to tell you about your true calling. Because this episode... Kendall, I don't know if you knew this. This episode is to help people find their true calling.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Okay. Well, now... Did you know that it was not until the 18th century that the idea of looking for a job that you care about really came, like, to be? People just thought, I've got to do this and make money, and it's not my life. It's just what I have to do to live.
Yeah.
But it was then that people thought, you know what? I should find something to do that I love.
Yeah. Well, that's what separated us from you know, the evolution of history and everybody else.
Like, from chimpanzees.
Yeah, that we wanted to do something that we love to do, and that's when all the great things in humanity started. So, really, life is all about finding your true calling.
It is. And now, that around that same time, I just thought this was interesting, that it also became, like, a popular idea that you would marry someone you fell in love with, and not just somebody who was there, and who you really loved was your mistress. That was around the same idea.
Uh-huh.
Around the same time. So, but anyway, I wrote down some notes. People think that our writers wrote down some notes. I just am copying them. But now, one thing that I thought was funny about your calling, Kendall. Do you think you found your true calling? Did I ask this already?
You did. Move on.
What about you, listener? Have you found your true calling? If not,
I love that people don't see when you do this, but when you talk to the listeners, you get really close to the computer. Your face gets really, like, I see every... every, you know, surface area of your skin when you are talking to the
big
listener.
Loose pores.
I wanted, but it's I didn't real want to funny, say it rudely.
Because Kenda, when you make a new acquaintance, isn't it? Aren't you? You judge and are judged a little bit, like, because you always say, "Oh, what do you do?"
Yes, you are. I actually, well, this is completely off topic, so I should not even go on that.
Uh huh. Why?
Well.
Go ahead. We don't care. Listeners and I will carry on our conversation in a minute. Don't worry.
I just met an acquaintance and have met them on several occasions. And, you know, when I gave up alcohol for Lent, you know, Jack Daniels.
Yeah, back then. Thank God that's over.
This acquaintance said, "You're not drinking Jack Daniels?" And I said, "No." And they're like, I only like you when you drink Jack Daniels. And I thought, what a bitch.
What a bitch. And you felt judged.
I did. And see, and they didn't even ask what my job or my calling was. I actually, you know, and I know that you don't do this, but when I meet people for the first time, I let them know that I am on a successful podcast. And they can check it out at cliffandkendall.com. I am not afraid.
I don't do that.
Because that is my true calling.
It is my true calling. It is.
And if I didn't do that, we probably wouldn't have half the listeners that we do today.
You're probably right. Now, psychologist Abraham Maslow says...
Oh, stupid.
It isn't normal to know what we want. It's a rare and difficult psychological achievement. What do you think about that, Kendall?
I'm aware, Cliff.
I'm aware. Kendall, if I could be aware every minute of my life, I would be... I would be it, Kendall, and that's no joke.
It's True Calling Awareness Month. did you have
that's
something
no
else?
That's
no joke. No joke. No, it's no joke. Oh, sorry, I missed the cue.
That's no joke.
Hey, Cliff.
Hey.
It's time for some drunken, stumbling, bad jokes.
That's no joke, Kendall.
I am all over the place today, Cliff. I have not found my true calling during this episode, and I apologize to our listeners.
Mostly that first act of the show was a monologue performed by me, and I would like to apologize.
But why did I start off the bad jokes then?
Please do.
Okay. Now, Cliff, this teacher, she cautiously approached the subject of sex education with her fourth grade class.
Oh my God.
Because she realizes that there's this little boy. And his name's Little Johnny. And he has a propensity for sexual innuendo. But Johnny remains attentive throughout the entire lecture. So finally, toward the end of the lesson, the teacher asks for examples of sex education from the class. One little boy raises his hand. He said, "I saw a bird in a nest with some eggs." And she says, "Very good, William," said the teacher. Oh, no, that's not... Nobody said that in the class.
She didn't say that.
Nobody said it. Now, this little girl... stop saying that. It has nothing to do with sexual education. Now, Esther said, "My mama had a baby." She said, "My mama had a baby." And the teacher says, "Oh, that's nice." And then finally, little Johnny raises his hand. And which the teacher, she had much fear and trepidation, she called on him. Now, why she would call on little Johnny during a sex education class is beyond me.
I wouldn't do it.
But he says, "Teacher, I was watching TV yesterday and I saw the Lone Ranger. He was surrounded by hundreds and hundreds of Indians and they all attacked at one time. And he killed every one of them with his two guns."
Everyone.
And the teacher, she was relieved that he didn't say something terrible. But she was puzzled, and she says, "What does this have to do with sexual education, Johnny?" And he says, "Well, that'll teach those Indians not to f*** with the Lone Ranger."
Oh!
Will anybody teach him, Cliff? Anybody?
The proper way!
Will he ever find his true calling?
I don't know.
I lay awake at night. I have to take pills to put myself to sleep.
I know you
do. So I don't think about little Johnny at night.
Two things. First thing is I forgot the other thing. The second thing is one time I did find myself in front of a fourth grade class trying to tell them that just because someone acted gay, you should still be nice to them. Whoops. That's in the past. Now, Kendall, once upon a time in joke world, this little old lady, she goes to the doctor and she says, "Doctor, I have this problem with gas."
Ooh, who doesn't?
But it really doesn't bother me too much. My gas never smells and it's always silent. As a matter of fact, I've farted at least 10 times since I've been here in your office. You didn't know I was farting. Because it didn't smell. And you didn't hear anything. I can't get over this one.
I know I can't either. I can't wait to find out what the end of the joke is.
Technical difficulties have occurred with Cliff and Kendall. Please do not adjust your broadband connection. Thank you.
And the doctor said, "I see. Take these pills and come back to see me next week." And Kendall, the lady, returned the following week. "Doctor," she says, "I don't know what the heck you gave me, but now my farts, all the silence, they stink terribly." Oh, sorry.
My God.
I'm sorry. I'm in a lot of pain. You have to excuse me. My farts, although silent, stink. They stink terribly. Good, says the doctor. Now that we've cleared up your sinuses, let's work on your hearing.
All right. Whew.
I'm sorry, sometimes our writers write one that I just can't.
That was a rough one to get through.
I'm sorry. I sent so much pain.
Cliff and our listeners. A man from the welfare department was interviewing a lady who had requested assistance.
He was
reviewing her form, and he noted that she stated that she had three sons, but only has one name listed, Leroy. Yes, she replied. All three sons are named Leroy. Well, why would... Now, this is a joke for us Southerners, Cliff.
Mm.
And the government worker, he said, why would you do that? And she said, well, it makes it much easier to get things done. When I say Leroy time for a bath, they all get in the bath. Leroy time for supper, they all go to the table. And amazed, the government worker then said, well, how do you get personal if you want to talk to just one of the sons? And she says, oh, that's easy. I just call them by their last name.
Oh. Oh, shit.
Ouch.
Kendall, once a guy... Oh, excuse me. Never mind.
I hope you make it through this one a little bit better than the last one.
Nah, never mind what I said about once a guy. One day, a guy goes to the doctor and he says, Doc, I have these real bad headaches. What should I do? And the doctor replies, well, to get rid of my headaches, I just have sex with my wife. And they both laugh. And Kendall, a week later, the patient returns. The doctor asks, how are you feeling? The patient smiles and he replies, you were right. I feel so much better. And by the way, Doc, you have a lovely home.
Oh.
Oh my God.
Slut. Well, speaking of infidelity, Cliff.
As always.
Suspecting her husband of infidelity, the woman attempted to put an end to it by arousing his jealousy. What would you say if I told you I have been sleeping with your best friend, she said provocatively. Yeah. Well, he mused, I'd have to say that you're a lesbian.
Mmm. He's like me. He has girl best friends, except for you and Tony and Alan.
Well, you have girl best friends.
But you are the one I thought of when I read that quote about best friends being lucky and stuff. This decade or so ago on St. Patrick's Day. Kendall, what's the difference between a toad and a horny toad?
Horny?
Horny toad. One goes ribbit and the other goes rubbit. Kendall, how do you confuse a female archaeologist?
I don't know, Cliff.
Well, Kendall, you're not going to like this. You give her a used tampon and you ask her what period it's from.
Ooh. Oh. Is that all the jokes you got?
That's, Kendall, you're not going to believe it. That's all I got.
I got to take a break.
I have to take a break.
Hey, you've made it this far into the show. It'd be a shame to give up now. Cliff and Kendall will be right back after the break.
This is Mr. Snodbottom, producer of Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast, coming to you on behalf of the PPSPP, the Podcasting Producers Suicide Prevention Program. Each year, over 70% of podcasting producers commit suicide. These alarming death rates have been on the rise for years now, with no signs of abating. You can help. Dial 1-800-PP-NO-DIE to contribute, or join us for a benefit at the Busheltown Orchestra Home on the 29th. A gala evening of music and floetry hosted by myself and Mr. Tori Malatia. Remember, only you can prevent the suicides of podcasting producers. Won't you help today?
And now back to the show.
I've been around the block a few times, so when they ask my mans we gonna blow, I just tell them in due time, keep preaching the new rhymes. It ain't a question of if, it's a question of when we gonna move by. All the greatest, it takes the patience of a saint to play this game. It's interchanging names, it's coming up every day. New faces, complacent, this rap game, and naked, I can't wait. I can feel it coming. Is it for real or something I just imagine? The magic of it. I've been embarrassed in public, but now I'm back and pumping, cause rap is something I can't give up that for nothing. I can see the stage, hands is numbing, while my fans is calling, I gotta stand up and answer for them. For all you who doubted, look at my dreams, my reality, no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Remember me, I done told y'all eventually. If you took the time to listen, I'ma let you see. The rest of you is nothing to the best of me. So let me see my future, my destiny. Remember me, I done told y'all I'd rest in peace. Before you get the chance to get the best of me, I don't accept defeat. I'm ready, please. It's my future, my destiny.
The tough road behind me with the key to surviving. Like
all right, Cliff, we're back. That was a well-needed break from all that laughter.
That was a break.
That was a jokey segment.
Kendall, once in a while it happens, the jokes are funny. Okay, now, Kendall, what I thought was funny when our writers presented me with pounds of research on this topic.
As they do, always.
Every time. Clean Week, February Awareness, it's all, they did so much research.
Yes.
But Kendall, now it's funny because I think a lot of people like this research. It says so many people have become, they're so concerned with money and status.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that they really cannot think authentically, meaning, you know, really, like, give it a fair, real, honest shake. Think about what they would want to do. But because they're so concerned, like, oh, I need to make this much money, and I need to, you know, own all this stuff and have my standing in the community, blah, blah, blah. What do you think about that?
Well, I have the perfect response for that, because I have thought that through a lot. You know, because as you're growing up, I think everybody goes through the phase that you want to make a lot of money, and you want to be, you want to, you know, change the world, and you want to be this, you want to be that. But, you know, when you really get down to it, it's not about that. Life is not about that. Life is about enjoying yourself and doing what you want to do. And, you know, if you know, let's say you do go out in the world and you cure cancer and people remember your name forever, you're still going to die and it's all going to be over. So you may have contributed something to society, but, you know, all you can do is enjoy your life and have a happy one and a lovely one. And be happy.
And Kendall, I think that's the best thing you ever said. Now, I do think people should try to cure cancer. But...
Well, no, I mean, if that makes you happy, which it does. Yeah. And it makes people happy
secretly,
to cure cancer.
I think they've already cured it, but they don't want to give up their prescription drug money.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's what I think. But that's probably the best thing that you ever said, all that last few minutes.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's true. I think if our show, if you listen to one episode... and you take one thing away from the show before you delete us forever, it's that you have to celebrate and make your own self happy.
Celebrate
and do
life.
What makes you feel good. And there's, you know, and take time out to laugh and be happy. Because so many people are just, they're just so concerned. Oh, I need to make much money.
Yeah.
And like you said, people, you go through a thing where you want it, where you want to be rich and famous.
Yeah.
And yada yada.
Everybody does.
And my brother, who's only 16, told me real recently. He's like, oh, I think I know what I want to do for my career. I want to go to college and be a sports journalist.
Yeah.
A sports broadcaster. And to which I said, I wish you the very best of luck.
Well,
because when I was 16. I wanted to be Rosie O'Donnell, the talk show host. Now, this is a show and I am talking.
Yeah.
But I'm not syndicated like Oprah in the afternoon.
But you're happy. And that's
I am.
So but that's like my nephew who is 15 now wants to follow in my footsteps and go to Watkins and be in the film industry. And I said, Don't.
Mm-hmm.
Just go ahead and be happy now. Like, go ahead and decide something else that will make you happy.
Well, but no, you did it, though.
I know, and it's great, and blah, blah, blah. Yay. And I'm happy now doing a podcast. So I'll just tell him to start his own podcast, and then he'll be fine.
Exactly. But that brings me back to what I was saying in the first segment there about how, you know...
Helping people.
Like, helping people is my favorite part of the job. But you have to do things... in your own way. And like, I wanted to be a talk show host, and you know what? From this show, every possible molecule of me that wanted to be a talk show host is satisfied.
Yep.
And so you need to find a way to satisfy your passion and your love of in life to do what you want to do. And you just need to find it and do it.
You know what would make me truly happy?
To read some letters from the audience.
Well, no, be skinny, but I'll read some letters.
Oh, okay.
You've got questions. We've got very helpful answers. Clifton, ask Clifton Kendall.
Or dear Clifton Kendall, dear as I Clifton like to call Kendall, it.
Whatever, okay. It's the same thing.
It's the same segment. A segment by any other name.
Yes. I'll start, Cliff. How about that?
Okay.
Dear Clifton Kendall, when I first met my husband of 2 years, Phil, he owned his own home. No.
Not that.
No. He kept it spotless and his yard neat. He prepared his own meals and did his laundry. Those qualities made him stand out from the many spoiled mama's boys I had dated in the past. Now that we're married, it's like he has amnesia. He has forgotten how to operate the washing machine, scrub a toilet, or wash a dish. He hasn't cleaned the bathroom once since our wedding, washes only one load of laundry a week, his own work uniforms, and performs other domestic tasks only if I ask repeatedly. I don't enjoy nagging him. I teach school and attend graduate school at night, so I'm just as exhausted at the end of the day as he is, even though his labor is more physical. I know this problem is nothing new, but I am hoping that you can offer some insight or advice. Why do so many men feel entitled to flop on the couch every night and expect us women to trudge through the housework into the wee hours? And that's signed, Not the Maid in South Carolina. What do you think, Cliff? What do you think?
Okay. I think that this man, you just have to tell him. You have to say, look, I can't do everything, you know, unless you want to live in a filthy pigsty.
Yeah. Well, right? I agree. Yes. And, you know, being a neat person myself, I'm the exact opposite of this guy. I keep everything clean and I pick up. I think that everyone, you know, both people in a relationship need to share the responsibility.
Yeah.
Pick up your shit.
Yeah.
And do something around the house.
Yeah.
So we actually agreed on something.
First time
ever.
Ever. All right, Kendall, I've got a question here.
Mm-hmm.
Where is it here in this
I already had
mess.
Mine open.
Oh, my God.
I had
God.
Mine open, ready to go.
Oh. All right. Okay. This letter, it says, Dear Cliff and Kendall, recently a question was raised about whether my mother might have been pregnant at the time of her wedding,
ooh,
more than 30 years ago. I was not premature, and no, I never, quote, did the math. Not once in my life was there ever any hint of such a thing, and no one ever alluded to it over the years. I am shocked and appalled. My mother has been so proper all my life, and she raised my sister and me to be ladies under strict supervision. Why would she not tell us, even after we became adults, wives and parents, struggling with the same situations? Should I, Cliff and Kendall, let it go and respect mother's obvious wish to keep it her own? Can I ask her without damaging our good relationship and Cliff and Kendall? Could there be another explanation? A big part of me wants to know the truth. And that sign, wants to know the truth, in Wilmington, Delaware.
I say, let it go. Because
let it go.
When you go digging, Cliff, all you get is dirty. And, you know, sometimes... I don't understand why everybody needs to know everything. I really don't. And, you know, there are times in your life where you think, I want to find out about this. And you go meddling and you find out stuff that you wish you never found out to begin with. So I think she should just leave it alone. You know, obviously she's here. That's what's important. Find her true calling and quit worrying about the past.
Well, Kendall, I agree with the part about looking for your true calling.
Yes.
But it's possible that this will eat worried in Wilmington alive for the rest of her days. Because we don't know, this might really be something that she's worried about, wants to know. And sometimes you do find out things, like you said, that maybe you would not, you know, you didn't want to hear.
Yeah.
But I think that if you really feel passionately about it, then you should ask and just find a tactful way to ask.
But
and be prepared for the consequences if she's really upset or whatnot.
But what will that do for her? Like, what does she want to do?
It'll ease
out?
Her conscience instead of her worrying forever about it.
But why is she so worried that she was born or, you know, conceived before marriage?
Well, I don't know. We don't know her story. Because I know I have things in my life that I wonder, like my parents and history and stuff. Uh-huh. And I think, I wonder what happened there. And I feel like I'm the type of person, like whatever it was, I would just say, okay. And it would just rest my mind, like, to know what it was.
Yeah.
Even if it was something, quote, you know, quote, immoral for the time.
I don't mean to go too deep, but there have been things in my life when I've thought, I didn't really even think about it. And along the course of my life, little things have come to light, and I thought,
yeah.
Oh, really? Well, I had no idea about that, but...
Uh-huh.
Oh, well, you know, and just move on. It doesn't affect my life to the... I'm you know, I'm here, and that's what's important to me. And I may be a different person, but to me, all that's important is that my mother and father brought me into this world, and under whatever circumstance it was, that's what happened, and I can't do anything about that. I just have to enjoy my life and move on.
Right. Well, I think she should just look and find out what kind of person
calling.
She is. Her true calling, about what she was. Can I tell you something else about a true calling?
You can.
All right. I wouldn't advise it, but you can.
Is that all for this, or are you still in this segment?
I think that's all for this.
Okay, I thought you meant you had another question or something. I didn't know.
No.
You confused me. I didn't know what your true calling was there.
Okay, my true calling. My true calling is bringing me back to the topic of today's show. How to find your true calling.
Yes.
Now, Kendall, did you know that we as human beings, we spend 70% of our emotional energy worrying about what could happen? And that's just a big thing about fear in our lives.
I did know that. And in fact, every time I hear somebody that's worried about something, I always tell them, we spend 70% of our lives worrying about stuff that will never happen.
That will never happen. Exactly. And so that's one tip to finding your true calling, everybody out there.
Don't worry.
Just get over the fear and don't worry about it. And
if you get hit by a truck tomorrow, it happens.
It's
don't
not
worry
gonna
about
matter.
It.
Yeah.
Just don't worry about
and
it.
And so you'll be dead and you won't care.
Mm-hmm.
You may be guest hosting on Cliff and Kendall Cloud to Cloud next week.
See, things will only
we don't
get
know.
Better. Things will only get
and
better.
Another tip is don't wait to have some big epiphany about, this is what I should do.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to always be on the lookout and ready to be honest and authentic about feeling it. Right, Kendall?
Right.
Another tip is
this
if
is the
you
best
have a
show we've
job,
ever done.
Kendall, sometimes we pull out our Oprah hats
we
help people.
Everybody look in your seat. Not, you got a new car.
If you're not happy in your job, don't stay there.
Yes, why be unhappy for the rest of your life? You always watch those movies about people that look unhappy. Leave your job. Just leave it. Well, hey, I know a woman that knows all the answers because she's been around for a long time.
Who is that?
Now,
me?
She was.
No, I'm a man.
No. She was supposed to be here in the studio
now.
But she is not here. And I've been told by Mr. Snodbottom that that we have a message from her on our call in hotline. So I'm going to play that right now.
Oh, hello, it's Mrs. Butter. Oh, God, this is scary. I'm on anesthesia. I seem to have broken my hip not once, not twice, but thrice. That's my left hip, of course. The right hip I've broken so many times I can't remember. Anyway, I'm not going to be able to be there today to give an etiquette tip, but I have emailed my etiquette tip to Mr. Snodbottom, who has graciously accepted it and said that he will read it on the air for you. stay here and enjoy my soaps. Oh, toodaloo!
Oh, poor Mrs. Potter Butter Butter Churn. She has injured herself.
Oh, well. Feel better, Mrs. Potter Butter Butter Churn.
Feel better. We're sending our good vibes to you. We hope you find your true calling in the hospital.
Oh, yeah.
And so, I guess, Mr. Snodbottom, are you ready over there to read the etiquette tips?
Oh, yes.
Okay, well, everyone, right. here is Mr. Snodbottom with our etiquette tip for today.
Yes, good evening. This is Mr. Snodbottom, Kendall Boy, Cliff Boy. Welcome to this section of the show. Now, Mrs. Potter Butter Butterchurn did email me this week's etiquette tip, and I had my intern print it out and put it in a sealed envelope for me for when I am ready to read it. So let me just open it
up here. That was very prudent of you, Mr. Snodbottom.
Oh, yes. I didn't want the media, the liberal media, to get their hands on this etiquette tip. All right, Mrs. Potter Butter Butter Churn, my dear. Here, she says this. Oh, hello, my little lambs. This is Mrs. Potter Butter Butter Churn bringing you an etiquette tip. Her handwriting on this email is hard to make out of. Pardon me. You know, when I was a girl, I grew up dirty. We couldn't afford soap and had to wash ourselves with our neighbors' already used soap. One day, as my mother was washing my hair with the dirty soap our neighbor, the Widow Jenkins, had thrown out that morning, my mother, she said to me, she said, "Baby of mine, you must find your true calling. And not just marrying a man." My mother was very progressive for her time. She said, "You need to find what makes you happy and do it." Of course, boy, the first position I held that made me happy was being a brain surgeon. Although brain surgery in those days was quite different. It involved a corkscrew and a skull, and releasing demons from the inside of a head. You had to watch out that they didn't fly up your nose, though. That's why I wore a burlap sack over my head, soaked in holy water. The only way to truly protect yourself, you know. Flip to the rest of this email. Other than that, my true calling became helping others find their true calling when I employed myself as an occupational matchmaker. I would find poor, downtrodden souls, which were all around in those days, and match them up to a suitable career. Rye farming, rye stewing, rye harvesting, rye weaving, or rye dentistry. I covered all the bases. Oh yes, those were the good days. And if you're still looking for your true calling, buck up. You may find it yet, under a stone, around the bend, or below a bushel of rye. Stay well, my little cherubs. Love, Mrs. Potter Butter Butter Churn. Thank, this is Mrs. Snodbottom coming to you. Thank you, Kendall Boy, Cliff Boy.
Well, thank you, Mr. Snodbottom, for reading that tip from Mrs. Potter Butter Butter Churn. And again, we hope that she gets better in the hospital. And
get well soon.
We're sending our good thoughts out in the universe for her.
Oh, yeah.
And that is awfully sad that she's in the hospital, Cliff.
It is sad. Oh, it is sad.
And so is the sad music.
Oh, my goodness.
It's sad that people spend their whole lives looking for their true calling.
It is sad.
And being unhappy in a job that they're unhappy with. So please, for the love of God, find a job that you love. And if you need help, you know where to go.
Oh, yeah.
CliffandKendall.com, CliffandKendall.blogspot.com, Facebook.com/CliffandKendall, Twitter.com/CliffandKendall. Oh, yeah. You can email us at CliffandKendall@yahoo.com or call us at 818-3084-FAT.
Kendall, I love our show so much.
I do too.
Do you have a quote?
I do. And my quote is called that. I don't want to get to the end of my life and find that I have lived just the length of it. I want to have lived the width of it as well. And that's Diane Ackerman.
Oh, now I know two people who live the width of their lives.
Well, that's why I picked it.
Kendall, my quote is a musical quote, and it's called this.
Uh-oh.
It's always gonna be another mountain. I'm always gonna wanna make it move. Always gonna be an uphill battle. Sometimes I'm gonna have to lose. Ain't about how fast I get there. Ain't about what's waiting on the other side. It's the climb. Don't you think that was great, Kendall?
I'm glad that wasn't your true calling.
That was, don't you think that was a great quote, though?
That was a great quote, Cliff.
You know who said that?
Miley Cyrus.
Miley Cyrus.
What an insightful young woman she is.
She's on another level. Cliff, she's found her calling, Kendall. Found her calling. There's always gonna be another. Take me home. I'm Cliff.
And I'm Kendall. Thanks for listening, and we hope that you listeners, that you find your true calling.
Oh, yes. We love you.
Life is about enjoying yourself and doing what you want to do.
Have you found your true calling?
You can.
You can.
Life is about enjoying yourself.
Have you found your true calling?
You can.
You can.
So really, life is all about finding your true calling.
Thanks for listening to today's show, Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast. We'll be here next time. Keep the emails coming in and be sure to subscribe.